Picture this. You're sitting in the pilot lounge, flight planning for a trip up to a small airport near the coast. Nice day. Light winds. Your buddy from work walks in and says, "Hey, I saw you were heading up that way this weekend. My wife and I need to get up there for a family thing. We'll split the gas with you." Sounds harmless, right? Friends, splitting the cost of a flight happens every day in hangars across the country. But if you handle that conversation wrong, you just violated federal regulations. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, could pull your certificate. Not suspend it. Revoke it. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to untangle one of the most misunderstood regulations in the entire book. Federal Aviation Regulations Part 61, Section 113. The Private Pilot Privileges and Limitations Rule. Specifically, the cost-sharing provision. Because here's the thing, the regulation itself is only a few paragraphs long. You can read it in 2 minutes. But the case law around it, the interpretations from the FAA chief counsel, the lines it draws between legal and illegal, that's where pilots get into trouble. Before we dig in, quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument commercial. They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, aviationsoul.com. Okay, let's walk through this together. First, what does the regulation actually say? Here's the plain English version. A private pilot cannot act as pilot in command of an aircraft that is carrying passengers or property for compensation or hire, and a private pilot cannot, for compensation or hire, act as pilot in command of an aircraft. That's the foundation. You cannot be paid to fly. You cannot fly people or things for money. But then the regulation carves out a few exceptions, and the one we care about today is the cost-sharing exception. It reads like this. A private pilot may not pay less than the pro rata share of the operating expenses of a flight with passengers, provided the expenses involve only fuel, oil, airport expenditures, or rental fees. Read that again carefully. The pilot may not pay less than the pro rata share. That's important. We'll come back to it. Here's what pilots hear when they read that. Oh, good. I can split the cost with my friends. Easy. Here's what the regulation actually allows, and this is where the trap is. Because what looks like a simple cost-sharing arrangement to you might look like an illegal charter operation to the FAA. Let me give you the three tests that have come out of FAA legal interpretations over the years. Get these three right, and you'll stay on the right side of the line. Test number one, common purpose. You and your passengers must have a genuine common purpose for the flight. You cannot be flying them somewhere purely because they want to go there. You must also have a reason to be on that flight at that destination for your own purposes. Here's an example. You want to fly to a pancake breakfast on Saturday at an airport an hour away. Your friends hear about it and want to come along. Great. You have a common purpose. You're all going to the pancake breakfast. Now flip it. Your friend asks you to fly them to see their grandmother in the next state. You don't know grandma. You have no reason to go. You're just going because they asked and they offered to split the fuel. That's not common purpose. That starts to look like a charter flight, and a private pilot cannot conduct charter flights. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The FAA looks at who initiated the flight and why. If the passenger is driving the decision of when and where to go, you're in dangerous territory. Test number two, holding out. This is the big one. Holding out means offering your services to the public at large, posting on social media that you're flying to Denver this weekend and have two open seats for anyone who wants to split costs. That's holding out. Putting a flyer up at the local university saying you can give rides for fuel money, holding out. The regulation is designed to prevent private pilots from running unlicensed air taxi operations. The moment you signal to the general public that your services are available, you've crossed a line, even if nobody takes you up on it. Now here's where it gets nuanced. Telling your specific friends and family that you're flying somewhere and they're welcome to come along if they want to chip in? That's generally fine. The test is whether you're reaching out to people who already have a personal relationship with you or whether you're advertising to strangers. This is exactly what killed the flight-sharing app world a few years back. There was a company called FlightNow, great idea on paper. Private pilots post their upcoming flights, passengers find a seat and chip in for fuel. Uber for airplanes. The FAA looked at it and said, "No, that's holding out." The moment you post a flight to a public platform, you're advertising transportation services to strangers. Doesn't matter that the pilots were only collecting fuel money. Doesn't matter that everybody was a willing adult. The court agreed with the FAA, FlightNow went out of business. The takeaway: social media and public platforms are dangerous waters. Posting to a private group of your flying club buddies? Probably okay. Posting to a public page with 10,000 followers? You've crossed into holding out. Test number three, pro rata share. Remember the language in the regulation? The Pilot may not pay less than the pro rata share. What does that mean in practice? It means the cost of the flight gets divided equally among everyone on board, including the pilot. If the flight costs $200 in direct operating expenses and there are four people on board, including you, each person pays $50. The pilot pays at least their $50, cannot pay less. Let me say that again, because this is where pilots mess up. The pilot has to pay their share. You cannot have your passengers cover your share of the flight. That would mean they're paying for you to fly, which is compensation, which is prohibited. And notice what counts as expenses. Fuel, oil, airport expenditures, like landing fees or tie-downs, rental fees for the aircraft. That's it. You cannot add in your time. You cannot add in an hourly rate for maintenance reserves. You cannot add in a cup of coffee you bought at the FBO, only the direct operating costs specified in the regulation. Now, let's put this together with a real scenario. You own a Cessna 172. You and three friends want to fly to a football game 2 hours away. The flight will cost approximately $180 in fuel and about $20 in landing fees. Total cost $200. Common purpose? Yes. You all want to see the game, check? Holding out? No. These are three specific friends. You invited them personally, check pro rata? $200 divided by 4 equals $50 per person. Each friend pays you $50, you pay $50 from your own pocket for your share, check. You are clear and legal under 6114. Now change one thing, your three friends say, hey, we'll cover the whole $200 since you're doing the flying. Stop. Do not take that money. If they cover the whole cost, you paid zero. You paid less than your pro rata share. Now you're receiving compensation for piloting. Violation. Change another thing. Your friends are going, but you actually don't care about the game. You've never watched a down of football in your life. You're only going because they asked. The common purpose test gets weak. If the FAA looks at this and concludes the flight exists solely to transport your passengers, you could be found to be operating as a charter without the required commercial certificate. Let's walk through another scenario because these come up all the time. Your boss finds out you're a pilot. She says, I have a client meeting in the next state. Fly me there and I'll pay you for your time plus expenses. Everything about this is wrong. You're being paid for your time. You're flying for her purposes, not yours. You have no common purpose with her. This would be a clear violation and potentially a serious one, because it's a business arrangement. What if she offers to just pay for the fuel? Still a problem. No common purpose. She's using you as transportation. The pro rata share rule doesn't save you because there's no genuine shared purpose for the flight. What would make this legal? She'd need to hire a charter operator with a commercial certificate, or you'd need to get the appropriate certifications yourself. Here's another one. The time-building trap. You've got your private and you want to build hours toward your commercial. Your flight school buddy needs hours too. You decide to split every cross-country you fly together, swapping legs as pilot in command. Generally fine, as long as you both have a genuine common purpose and you're each paying your pro rata share. But be careful, if one of you ever has an actual destination-driven reason to go somewhere, and the other is just along for the time, that can tip into problem territory, especially if money is changing hands. And here's something else pilots get tangled up in. Charity flights. You want to do some good with your pilot certificate. You sign up to fly a patient to a medical appointment through one of the volunteer pilot organizations. Good news. These organizations have specific FAA provisions that allow private pilots to participate. But here's the catch. You have to go through the established organization, you cannot just freelance it, and you cannot deduct the flight costs as charitable contributions in a way that effectively compensates you beyond what the regulation allows. Now, let's talk about compensation itself, because this is the sneakiest part of the whole thing. Compensation doesn't have to be money. The FAA's definition is broad. It includes the accumulation of flight time, goodwill, business advantage, reciprocal favors, anything of value. There's a famous interpretation letter from the FAA chief counsel, the Mangiamela letter from 2014, that made this painfully clear. A pilot wanted to know if he could fly to a business meeting for his employer, where he was not primarily hired as a pilot, and have the company reimburse his fuel. The chief counsel essentially said that fuel reimbursement is compensation and receiving compensation to fly makes the flight a commercial operation, which requires a commercial certificate unless it fits within a specific exception. This is where 61.13 paragraph B comes in. That exception lets a private pilot act in connection with a business or employment if the flight is only incidental to that business and the aircraft does not carry passengers or property for compensation or hire. Incidental is the key word. If flying is the core purpose of your job, you need a commercial certificate. If flying is just how you happen to get to the business meeting, and it's a genuinely optional method of getting there, you may be okay. As long as no one is paying you to fly and you're not carrying passengers for the company. Let me give you the practical takeaways. The examiner is looking for you to understand this. And more importantly, your future in aviation depends on not tripping over it. Takeaway 1. Before every flight with passengers who are contributing to cost, ask yourself three questions. Do we have a genuine common purpose? Am I limiting this to people I know personally? Not advertising to the public? Am I paying at least my equal share? Takeaway 2. Keep records. If you're splitting costs regularly, keep a simple log, date, people on board, destination, total cost, amount each person paid, including you. If something ever comes up, you have documentation. Takeaway 3. When in doubt, pay for the whole flight yourself. The cost-sharing exception is narrow and full of traps. If you're not 100% sure you qualify, don't take the money. A tank of fuel is not worth losing your certificate. Takeaway 4. If you're serious about flying people or things for money, get your commercial certificate, and understand that even with a commercial certificate, you still need an operating certificate to run a charter operation. The commercial is a personal privilege. Part 135 is a whole different world, with its own training, maintenance, and operational requirements. Takeaway 5. Read the letters of interpretation. The FAA Chief Counsel publishes opinions, and they're publicly available. Many of them specifically address cost-sharing scenarios. When you read through a few of these, you start to see how the agency thinks about these questions. It's a lot more useful than just memorizing the regulation. Here's a last thing to think about. Why does this rule exist in the first place? It's not to punish friendly pilots splitting gas. It exists because commercial aviation has safety standards that private operations don't, higher training requirements for pilots, drug and alcohol programs, maintenance oversight, duty time limits. When passengers pay for transportation, they have a right to expect that level of oversight. The cost-sharing provision is the FAA's compromise. It lets private pilots genuinely share the cost of flights with people they know, while protecting the flying public from untrained operators running informal taxi services. When you understand the why, the where of the lines makes more sense. So next time someone asks if they can chip in for fuel, pause for a second, run through the tests. Common purpose, no holding out, pro rata share. If you can check all three, you're good. If not, you have a conversation to have before you pre-flight. Thanks to the FAA Chief Counsel interpretation letters and the folks at the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association legal team for making a lot of this accessible to the rest of us. You can find more training segments at radiohangar.com. Fly smart, ask questions before you need the answers, and I'll see you in the pattern.